Welcome to the Get Up Power Hour. Boom, 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 bam! I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like your cell phone going off in church, baby. Welcome to the greatest hour of weekly radio for mindset, attitude, positivity, tenacity. Kev, pump the jam, baby! Woo! That's right. Somebody let me out of the cage and I'm ready to rock. Yeah, we're 1520 WCHE every single mother loving Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, and I'm here with Big Kev working the board. Yo, it is Thursday, February 6th, the greatest day of your life. Here's the number to the station, 610-701-9243. Wow. I'll tell you what, man. I came flying in here with an attitude today. I am on freaking fire. If I had hair, it would be standing up. The whole mantra of today's show is going to be taking control. Taking control of your life. Being in control. Who wants that? You do. You know you do. You want control. You want better. You deserve better. You can have better. And today we're going to start taking some action steps. We're going to be talking about that. And what does that look like? How does that happen? And that's going to be about realizing maybe it's not all about you. That's going to be about realizing what you should be saying when you're talking to yourself, how your words have power, how your thoughts have power, how the activities that we are not engaging in are adversely affecting, positive or negatively, your life every single day. So we got to tweak some stuff, peeps. We're going to pick it up and we're going to go hard for the next hour. I'm too hype right now. You guys can call in if you want. If you don't, sit back, buckle up, get your freaking popcorn ready because I'm swinging for the fence. Like I said, I'm your host, Mark Hayford, here every Thursday 1 to 2. And I want to invite you guys to connect with me on all your social media platforms. Yo, I'm out there on Insta, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, right? I'm on YouTube. Yo, check out MarkHayford.com. Now, it's all Mark with the C, right? MarkHayford.com. I got both of my number one books. And people are like, bro, what do you mean you got number one books? Both of my books were released on Amazon, and each one of them, Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life, and 365 Days, Encouraging You to Attack Life. Basically, I want you to attack life, right? They both went number one in Amazon's self-help category, each on the first day that they were released. And that blew me away because I never took a formal writing class. You got some ideas, man. You got to say it, and you put that stuff out there, and your people are going to come. So mine did, and I'm so grateful for you guys, Get Up Army. Hey, you can pick up both those books right at MarkHayford.com or Amazon.com and check it out. You're like, bro, I'm busy. I ain't got time to read. All right? Well, that's fine. Go to Audible, and you could hear the 20 hours of work that I put in. No, it's not 20 hours long, but Get Up Encouraging You to Attack Life's out there on Audible. You can listen to it on your commute while you're baking lasagna, whatever you do. I don't know, Kev. And check this out. You can DM me, you can PM me, you can email me, getup@markhayford.com. And if you love this show, if you're like, no, it's 159, Hayford, don't go, 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 go. If you love the Get Up Power Hour, Kev's chuckling in the corner, and Kev's not one to chuckle. He's a mean dude. If you love the Get Up Power Hour, and you need a daily dose, check it out. I got a daily podcast. I got the Get Up Podcast for you. It's on SoundCloud. So you can go to soundcloud.com, you can get the app. Yo, it's aggressive. It's an aggressive schedule. And I'm going to be honest, there's days I don't have it. There's days I don't feel like it. There's days where maybe the creativity ain't popping off the charts. You know what? You do it anyway, because that's what commitment is. Commitment is saying that you're going to do something and you stick to it after that good feeling is gone. And that's what we do every single day at the Get Up Podcast. Very organic. We're not editing anything. If I'm mumble jumble, tripping over words, have a sneezing fit, yo, you got it raw. We don't live in a filter, and we don't do that on the show either. So that's how you can get at me. And today, you lucky ducks, if you're tuning in here, I'm going to be pulling from both of my books. Little something here and a little something there. What's cool about the 365 book, and my wife yells at me because she said, you never mention it. So I'm going to mention it. So this way she doesn't yell at me. The 365 book is a little different than Get Up, right? Because Get Up is, it's a book. It's chapters, it's stories, it's a lot of adversity, struggles, some life stories I have, some quote-unquote successes that I may or may not have had, depending on how you view it. 365 is different. It's a thought of the day. And it's to kind of kick you in the rear. It's to get you to smash a goal, to chase down a dream, to start to dream, or just to get your feet on the floor out of bed, because sometimes that first step is so hard, right? So a new one drops every single day at 5 a.m. Doesn't mean you have to tune in at 5 a.m. I got like 250. You can binge listen anytime you want. But a brand new one's coming to you at 5 a.m. every day, sometimes the night before. But what's cool is that podcast follows my book, 365. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to today's date, because I think this is kind of the mantra of the show a little bit. And, yo, sometimes it just could be a simple sentence. Sometimes it's a paragraph. Sometimes whatever. But today's book, and this one's falling apart on me because I've been – my podcast just hit a year straight. We just did a year of podcasting on SoundCloud. So cool. So it's Thursday, February 6th. For those of you with the benefit of having the paperback copy of 365 Days of You, encouraging you to attack life in your sweaty little palms, please go to page 37. Because it's the 37th day of the year. Is that nuts? It is. I know. Okay. February 6th reads as such. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. You should have asked for more. See, you thought I was going to stop there with be careful what you ask for, you just might get it. Well, true. That's what great-grandma Hayford used to say, that and other expletives, which I will not say here on WCHE 1520 AM. But I'm telling you, you should have asked for more. You should ask for more. Ask. If you don't ask, the answer is already no. Right? Right. I mean, are you playing to lose? Are you playing to not lose? Or are you showing up to win? Are you showing up on purpose? That's a different mindset. Total different mindset. Because you could be careful or you could be all out. You know what? It's the saying, what good are low hopes? Right? You know, some people would say, I wish I had $100. Well, do you wish you had $100? I mean, what do you really want? How about $1 million? Oh, that's better. You know, we're into vision boarding, goal setting and all that. A couple years ago, I wound up putting down one of my goals. And my wife looked at it and she said, that's it? Way to go. But I thought about it. I was like, oh, okay. You're right. I mean, it's about having a vision. It's about taking the blinders off. It's about taking the limits away. It's about understanding that this itty-bitty world is wide open. And any limitations that you have in your brain, those are paradigms, bro. Those have been put there for you. You've been told things from the time before you could speak. And you've learned certain things and tendencies. And we get older and we get jaded. And yo, it's wide open. This is crazy. There was a study that was done. Now, we're going back a little bit now, maybe about close to 10 years. But the study was done, and it was put in a major publication for a top city, right? I'm not going to say the publication or whatever, but they were doing a study. And people didn't know they were doing a study, but they put two job descriptions in where people could apply for this job. Now, check this out. They were the exact same title. They were the exact same qualifications that were necessary to obtain the position. You needed the exact same experience, the exact same level of education. It's identical. The only difference was the pay. Job A, same title, same everything, same requirements, was going to pay $120,000 a year. Six figures. Some people make six figures. You're like, yeah, cool. Other people are like, whoa, I can't even imagine that. That's like four times what I make, right? So $120,000 a year. The other job was half of that. It was like $60,000 a year. So when they were done and they pulled this down, what they found was there was a handful of people that applied for the $120,000 job, and countless amounts of people applied for the $60,000 job. But wait a minute. It's the exact same job. But most people played small. Most people didn't see it. Most people couldn't imagine themselves even living like that. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I say it when I do my live events and seminars. If you can't see it, you can't be it. You got to put yourself starting with the end game in your mind, and then you got to take action steps to get there. I have a good friend. She, you know, former TV personality. fantastic speaker. She goes all over the planet, does seminars. She's an author. Rita Davenport. Rita is a rock star, for real. And she's told this story. She actually wrote about it in her book, Funny Side Up. And she tells a story of when she was a little girl, and she was hanging out with her grandpa growing up in Tennessee, and they, you know, listen, Rita's done some amazing things on big platforms. Rita has created an amazing life for herself. Health, wealth, all that. But at the time when she was a little girl, growing up poor in Tennessee, her grandfather, who was kind of broke, was sitting on a porch in a rocking chair, literally smoking out of his corncob pipe. Not a Frosty the Snowman song, like that legit, how she describes it. And she asked him, she said, "Grandpa, when you were a little kid, what did you ever picture yourself doing? Where did you see yourself when you grew up?" And the way she tells the story, he sat back and rocked in the chair and thought about it for a minute. And he said, "Well, I reckon that I was going to be right here." Now, if he's happy, that's good. But there's so much more than that porch and rocking chair. And maybe you don't want to be on the porch and the rocking chair. Where do you want to be? Dramatic pause for real. I'm asking you, where do you want to be? What is it? What is that thing? Where do you want to be? You heard it before. You get the start date, you got the end date, you got the dash. And the big question is, what are you going to do with your dash? That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, when it's all said and done, we're at your eulogy, what are they saying about you? What do you want it to sound like? Because the only person that's in control of that is you. So it's time that we start taking control of our lives, because we have one. We have one, and we're not getting more time. So here's some vision for you. You're going to create what you're focusing on. What you're focusing on is what you're going to start creating in your life. So I want that to be just in the forefront of your mind, first of all. And I want you to really buy into that, that you need to start focusing on, attracting, obsessing, playing on the frequency of what it is that you actually want. Because if you don't, you're never going to have it. Period. And if you do somehow fall backwards, lucky into it, you're not going to keep it. You know, most lottery winners go broke within a handful of years. They win millions and then they're broke. Mike Tyson at one point had $400 million and then he went broke because he didn't have the mindset for it. You got to be on purpose with your day to day, with your life. You got to take control. You have to be in control. Because if not you, who? Who's driving the car? The bus is off the freaking tracks. So that's setting the stage for what we're doing here, this Power Hour. And we're going to take a break in just a second. But when we come back, I want to give some little nuggets, some little tidbits, some little things over the years that I've learned in seminars that I do day to day, that my wife and I teach our kids to do, things that we are doing, just little things that are so oblivious that give you that edge that can help you win. So get up, Army. I want you to win. We're going to freaking do it together. We're going to cram it down life's throat, baby. So don't go anywhere, because we will be back right here on the Get Up Power Hour on 1520 WCHE. Boom! We're back, baby. We're back and taking control right here on 1520 WCHE. I'm Mark Hayford, your host of the Get Up Power Hour. And yo, this whole show, I'm coming here with a chip on my shoulder. I got a freaking attitude, baby. An attitude today. And we're playing to win. Woo! Talking about taking control. Taking control. Oh, I love when Kev rocks it. He's rocking it. He's rocking it. Yeah. Hey, listen, in the words of the great Jim Croce, if you like it, do it. Actually said, dig it. He goes, if you dig it, do it. And if you really dig it, do it twice. So I love when Kev rocks that jam. That was by 14-year-old Kane Hayford, who's now 18-year-old Kane Hayford, by the way. And he did everything. That's my kid. He's good with music. How about that? I'm good at playing other people's music, but he can kind of create his own. So when he did that, that song's called Vision. And I'm like, yo, that's a theme song for the show. Either that or Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody, or Love Shack. I don't know. But whatever. It doesn't matter. So look, we're talking about taking control, friends. Taking freaking control. And so much of that just kind of starts with you. It has to start with you. Because if it doesn't start with, no one's going to take control for you. Right. I remember when I went into the Air Force, my dad prepped me before I went to Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. Right. And he said, look, my dad was in Vietnam. He's been through it. And he goes, look, you're going there with your beautiful Bon Jovi like brown feathered freaking hair at the time. And you're going to drop your bags and they're going to come out at you with like a pack of pit bulls just rah, 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 rah in your face and calling your mom stuff and screaming at you and telling you you're worthless and get out of my military and the whole thing. He goes, they're just testing. It's all, you just got to be your own advocate. You got to have your mind right. You got to expect it. You're going into it. And he was right. As soon as we got off that bus, boom, they're on you, right? And it's like white on rice and they're in your face. And it's about what they're trying to do is A, weed you out. If you can't take that, you can't take combat or whatever else they need you to do to save a life or your country, right? So, but it's also about growing strong and it's about taking control of your emotions, being emotionally mature and taking control of yourself and making that happen. So, it's about taking action steps and it's about picking yourself up by your own bootstraps and it's about throwing yourself a lifeline sometimes. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, look, I don't know about you guys, but where I live in the Northeast, and I know we're, listen, you can live stream this global. We got people in the UK. We got people on the West Coast. And that's why I'm careful to say we are every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time here for the Get Up Power Hour. So wherever you're listening to this from, or if you're hearing the recorded version in the Northeast, look, we've been blessed so far this winter. Haven't been hit with major stuff or anything like that as far as weather. But it gets cold, man. It gets ugly. Like, it's winter time. Like, my buddy John lives in Florida. It's not freaking winter time. Like, he lives where people want to go vacation, okay? It's like, he goes literally to the Hooters, gets a Bud Light, he's on a beach, and, like, he jogs, like, a quarter mile, and he goes back, and they give him another Bud Light. Like, that's his life, okay? Okay. That's not how it is here. Kev's chuckling again. I see, yeah. No, that, here, you know what it is? Here, everything is cold, and dark, and gray, and dead, and bleh. Right? So that could definitely get in your head and that can play in your mind if you let it, if you allow it, if you just kind of show up, not showing up on purpose. You gotta show up ready to play. You gotta show up on purpose. Right? You can't be beaten down. Listen to me, Get Up Army. We're talking about being in control. You cannot be beaten down by your current circumstances. You just can't. Your current situation is not your final destination. Talk about it all the time. Let's talk about a couple little life hacks here, for real, okay? And this is part of NLP. The heck did Hayford just say? The wheels are coming off here. NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. That's what I'm talking about. It's like the things that you say, think of, hear about, tell yourself repetitively, over and over. Now, in a second, I'm going to refer to my first number one book, Get Up, and I'm going to read you a little something from that, but we're not there yet. It's putting the cart before the horse here. Let's say, how do you start off your day? Are you going into some quiet time for self-reflection, meditation, prayer, devotional time? Are you picking up a book and doing or listening to that podcast that's going to give you some personal growth? Or do you roll over and start scrolling on the gram and just hit all the social media and see everybody fighting about all the politics and the divisiveness and blah, 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 blah. Filling your head with junk, or are you clearing your mind and getting prepared for the day? Because every day's a battle. Like, it really is. Every single freaking day, it's a battle. Like, you gotta equip yourself. You don't go to a battle non-equipped. You're gonna lose the battle. So every day you got to be on purpose with this, right? So what do we do next? Then we go to our, wherever we got to go, we got to commute. What do? We put on music. Now look, I ain't coming at you like some old dude with some rah-rah. I'm a DJ. I'm 48 years young. I pack dance floors. I love it. I'm all in it. I'm in North Jersey tomorrow night doing a private event. I can't wait. I love it. It's fun. However, I'm self-aware about it. You get in the car, you put on this music, especially today, today's music, which has a, what I mean, when I was a kid and the generation after, and, you know, every generation thinks, you know, the parents think the music is bad. When I look back, all of it's bad. Like, it's going bad back to Sinatra. If you really take out the, you know, we put pretty music behind it so you sound good singing with it. Or, yo, we drop these dope beats. You're like, yeah. And you're, but have you ever listened to the words? Have you ever actually listened to the words of what you're saying and what you're singing? Because you're programming your brain. This is scientifically proven, friends. The stuff that you're repetitively saying, humming, especially when it's melodic, you're rewriting the neurons in your brain. So when you're singing and listening to music that is focusing on death, drugs, alcohol, the abuse of women, breakups, anger, sadness, suicide, fill in the blank, like for real. Like, put on Q102 and find me a song that has a positive message. And I'm just saying that because that's the local, you know, one of the local top FM pop stations, you know. But that's pretty much, it's easier to find 10 songs that have terrible messages that are about breakups and this and that, whatever, versus one song that makes you feel good, that actually has something that's going to uplift you. And we wonder why we're walking through with such negativity these days. It's on the television. It's on YouTube. It's in the music. It's on the stuff that you scroll on your social media. And we got to be aware of this. When you're aware of it, you can guard your mind against it. And you don't have to have like a cesspool floating in your head. You're not all polluted with it. You can see it. You can recognize it. You can choose to ignore it. Or you can choose to sing that song that you like with that melody. But don't buy into it. Be aware. Be self-aware. You got to be your own best advocate. Now, how about this? How about the words we say? Guys, we got to be hypersensitive to the words that are coming out of our mouths because thoughts are powerful. They create energy. Your thoughts are creating energy. Your words are creating energy. And the words, just like that crappy music we listen to, it all goes back into our minds. So it's about kind of being careful. Not kind of. It is absolutely about being careful about the way you speak because that's very important about how a reflection of how you're going to see yourself, whether you're realizing it or not, because your subconscious mind is working when you're not working. It's picking up on stuff. So like, okay, we replaced words in my house. I know this sounds a little like A-type. I don't know. Is it, or does it just work? All right. So show me the people who don't do this and then the people who do this and then show me the difference. But instead of saying, I don't want to get sick. I hope I don't get sick. Well, why don't we just get rid of sick? Let's not focus on sick. Forget sick. Let's focus on health. How about instead of getting sick, how about I want to stay healthy? I'm healthy. Not that I don't want to get sick, but I am healthy. Oh, okay. For me personally, and I'm going to throw it here and say, I just said don't say it, but I will say this as an example. I get sick like once a decade. I legit do. Whereas when I was a kid, I was like the king of strep throat. I was like voted, Miss the Week of School Award, right? Okay. But now, like, I saw someone yesterday where it's packed with people. It smells like barnyard. We're at a wrestling event, you know, and I shake someone's hand. They're like, oh, you shouldn't shake my hand. I'm sick. I'm like, well, I'm healthy. I'm good, man. Like, I'm good. And guess what? I'm good. I can cage fight a pack of wolves right now. I'm good. I'm healthy. So it's about replacing that. Instead of, hey, kids, how about instead of, oh, I hope I don't fail that test, how about I'm going to pass the test. Of course I'm going to pass the test. I'm ready to pass the test. How about for anyone doing any sports or anything, or trying to do a contest or you're for a job application, instead of, I hope I don't lose, how about I'm going to win? How about I'm going to dominate? Like, that's the speech you have to have in your head. Neuro-linguistic programming is repeated words, thoughts, messages, constant. I'm going to ask you a question, Get Up Army, and you could say it out loud with me. And I do a whole thing about this. We don't have enough time for this now, but I do a whole thing when I do some live talks, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. Now, you don't have to really care, and we're going to go to the break right after this question, but listen, you don't have to be an expert in this category. You don't even have to know anything about this category. If I asked you to name two participants in this category, and you're like, for the foggiest, I couldn't name any of them, doesn't matter. Clear your mind. I'm going to ask you the question. I just want you to blurt the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Ready? Who is the greatest boxer of all time? Muhammad Ali. That's right. But guess what? He wasn't. He really wasn't. Because, I'm not even a boxing, aficionado or anything like that. But, and this is something I talked to. I mean, what about like Joe Lewis, Mike Tyson, Floyd Money Mayweather, Jack Dempsey, Sugar Ray Robinson, like Jake LaMotta. Like they actually made, the movie Raging Bull won 24 awards. It wasn't an accident. Sugar Ray Robinson fought in two different weight classes, came close to quadrupling Ali's win record. But you said Muhammad Ali. Why? Because he told us. And we went, okay. I'm the greatest. You dream about beating me, you better wake up and apologize. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm the greatest. Oh, he's the greatest. The things you say are powerful. You got to be hypersensitive with your words. What are you saying to yourself? What are you programming your mind with? What are you telling yourself? I want you to pause and think about that. We're going to pay some bills. We'll come right back here on the Get Up Power Hour, 1520 WCHE. You know it, I know it. We can't stay away. It can't stop, won't stop. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like an army of ants all up in your picnic basket, baby. It's a Get Up Power Hour. 1520 WCHE. Watch it. Every Thursday. Kev, rock us, baby. Rock us. He's rocking it. Give me the pyrotechnics. Woo! Love it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. That gets me too hyped. Yeah. Now my phone's blowing up. I got good stuff, bad stuff, hate mail, love text, right? And some people are like, they're busting my chops on the whole music thing. Yeah, well, I do love music because I believe music is community. It creates an energy. It's like a canvas. It creates, for your event, whatever. It brings people together. But all I'm saying is you got to mind your mind, people. That's what I'm talking about. Now, this next one, that book, Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, he also wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People, or How to Influence People and Win Friends. I said it backwards. Well, this next segment is how Mark Hayford potentially creates enemies and loses his friends. Okay. Because I'm just going to speak the truth here, and I'm just going to get raw with it. And this is about, the excuses and quitting and just, because people check out too easy. It goes back to the top of the show where I was talking about how they had that job where, everybody shot low. Everybody went for the job that paid half of the other job, which had the exact same qualifications, experience necessary, same title. People shot low. They checked out. Well, I think it's about constantly digging in, never quitting. Never quitting. I was a professional wrestling referee. As a matter of fact, next month I'm getting back into the ring for a charity event that's local. We're going to bring someone on in the upcoming months regarding that and that show that's coming up where you can get tickets and all that. I made it to the WWE. I was there for a while. I was with the John Cenas and the Undertakers and the Ric Flairs and all that, and it was amazing. Over time, I have known a handful of female referees, and that's not popular. We just had the Super Bowl where they had one of the first female coaches to ever play into, to play in a Super Bowl or to coach in a Super Bowl, what I'm trying to say here. And, sometimes it's just not popular. And in professional wrestling, they had women and they had men. So especially when you're a referee, in sports entertainment, as a woman, people didn't buy into it too much. But I have known over the years in the independent circuits, known by wrestling fans as the indies. In the indies, I have known a couple of female referees, personally. Some were really good, and some were really not so good. And listen, I'm just being real talk here. So I may hurt some feelings, but I'm not doing it to hurt feelings. I'm doing it to prove a point. I'm doing it to pull the best out. I'm doing it so we could be self-aware. Because what happened was with some of these females, they quit. They quit. They saw the ceiling. They heard no. They were told that they, wasn't really accepted or it wasn't popular. The boys had something to say in the back or they weren't respected or whatever, or it just wasn't what you're looking for right now, or don't call us, we'll call you, whatever. I mean, one or two got really close, like new WWE personalities and first name basis was backstage at events, the whole thing. But for whatever reason, stopped, quit. And that was some years ago. Well, today, if you watch professional wrestling, and it doesn't matter if you do or don't, it's just the fact of it, now we have the women's revolution. And we've had women who not just will headline the main event for Monday Night Raw or for the Friday Night SmackDown and, all these other things. They've headlined WrestleMania, which is like the Super Bowl of wrestling. Women. Wrestlers. And earlier this month, there was a pay-per-view. Sometimes I'll watch with my boys because, like I said, they grew up on it. I grew up on it. Pay-per-view, stuff like that. And we were watching it, and it was the Royal Rumble. And who's in the ring? A female ref. They now have female refs in the WWE. Not in independent scenes, not in the bingo hall, not at the Via Freaking W. In WWE, they have female referees. They're not the ones I knew because too many people quit before payday. Too many people don't play all out. Too many people stop before it gets really good. Now, look, last week we had our live broadcast where we were at Timothy's in Lionville, one of the show sponsors, and I was with former NFL player Brandon Noble. And we did a show. So I was not here in the studio last week. But prior to me being in here the last time live, we saw the unfortunate, horrific, and I'm not going to go to that place, but the whole Kobe Bryant deal. And it affected so many people. It created a sadness in me. And it's funny. Not that it's funny, but what's funny, not like ha-ha, like to me, is that I never really even followed Kobe because I was watching basketball back to Michael and Bird and Magic and stuff like that. But I kind of checked out at the time him and Shaq came along. You couldn't get away from it because they were such big superstars. And from afar you would hear things and whatever. Guy was an icon. He was a legend. He was not perfect, but nobody's perfect, but he played all out. At the time of Kobe Bryant's death, he was 41 years old. 41. And that man has done things in those 41 years that people twice his lifetime will never accomplish. He's made millions, became a household name, got his marriage right, like a real man, pulled himself up, had a wife, had kids, was a father, was a great role model, was an icon. Had a mindset like very few. He was a once in a generational type player who came through. And you go back and you really look at his body of work. He came from this area in Pennsylvania. And I was, as soon as that happened, you know, all the posts were coming up on media and everything, and there was not one local person that interacted with him that had a bad thing to say about him. From the time that he was young to, you know, in this area to moving up. Incredible, incredible, incredible life story that he was able to live the way he lived. That's someone that played all out. That's someone that held nothing back. I mean, he was coaching his daughter. He did it all. The guy did it all. And what was really interesting is you could look at someone like a Kobe Bryant. You could say, well, of course, it's Kobe Bryant. Yeah, but hold on. That's too easy. That's a cop-out. Like, Kobe Bryant was Kobe Bryant, but he was on purpose. And I watched some interview. I am obsessed. Listen to me, Get Up Army. I am obsessed with the winners, with success. I want to know their mindset. I want to know when they sleep. I want to know how they eat. I want to know how they think. I want to know how they fight adversity. What was adversity for them? What was success for them? How did they do it? What advice did they have? Like, give me all that, all day long. And I was watching some stuff on him, and I saw this interview where he just said, he was like, look, he went to the, so here's his thing. At 17, I believe he was in the NBA. He wasn't a starter till he was about 20 years old. So he didn't come in like instantaneous sensation. I mean, going in at 17, that's dope, but he was about 20 till they started playing with him. And make no mistake about it, when he was on that team with the Lakers, that was Shaq's team. Because other than free throws, Shaq could do no wrong. Nobody had an answer for him. He was just a killer on the court. And then there was Kobe, who was, you know, Kobe. But by the time he was 24, he was the leading point scorer in the league. And if you go back and you listen to some of the accounts of what he talks about, he says he wasn't the fastest. He was tall, but he wasn't the tallest. He was quick, but he wasn't the quickest. Now, he had big hands, but he didn't have, like, massive hands. So he became obsessed with his craft, and he learned angles, and he studied opponents, and he studied how to get better, all the little things. Theme of the show, take control. He was taking control. And it's funny because he had the nickname, the Black Mamba. And I never knew, I didn't know what the heck that was. Like, I thought it was a sneaker, you know, and it was, you know, hey, why not? Go make millions, go live your life. I love it. But the Black Mamba thing, you know, he was going through a tumultuous time in his personal life and everything. And in interviews, he said he had to separate Kobe in real life because everything was getting so out of control for him. You know, when you're that level, you can't even go out to eat anywhere. You know, what is that like? It's a blessing and a curse, right? When you talk to famous people, they want it, but when they get there, oof. Some people can't handle it. And for him, his personal life was just taken over. He was kicked out of his house. You know, it was a whole thing. And he didn't know if he was going to be in prison the next year. He didn't know if he was going to have his wife and his kids. It was a whole thing. So he said he had to separate Kobe Bryant, the player, and Kobe Bryant, the human being. So I think he said he watched the movie Kill Bill, if I recall, from where he got this. And he created the Black Mamba. And the Black Mamba came out in 2004, where Tracy McGrady was looking like he was going to be the face of the NBA at the time. And that game, you know, here's Kobe, who's emerging, who at this point just completely sucks. He just didn't, and the opponents, the teammates said that wasn't him in that game. You know, national televised game, a huge important game. He puts up 1 point in the first half. Here's somebody who goes on to put 60 points up in a game, 84 points in a game. Incredible. He put 1 point on in the first half. Something happened at halftime. And when he came out at halftime in 2004 of this game, he was a different player. He finishes with a total of 37 total points. They go on and win the game. And 24 of those 37 points came in the fourth quarter. He went savage. He went insane. And all that was was basically him becoming this alter ego, the Black Mamba. And he goes and talks about, he says, you know, Kobe, yeah, you know, I'm the guy, I'm a human being, I make mistakes, I try to get better, I'm a husband, I'm a father. When I'm on the court, when I'm in that cage, nobody stops me. Nobody. You're talking about positive self-talk? He told himself, every other player is just in my way. They will get destroyed. I am the conqueror. I am here and I'm the best. And he worked at it. I mean, it wasn't just like he said that and then he sat on the couch and ate like a peanut butter sandwich. That's not how it goes. Like, he put in the work. He studied his own shortcomings on the court and things, if that's what you want to call it, and things that he did to get better. To get better. He didn't make excuses. Excuses suck. He went hard. So when we talk about the body of work and we celebrate someone's life, we can look at that, that mindset, that A player, that A type. What are you doing to get better? Are you making the excuses? Or are you studying it, going, how can I get better? How can I turn this adversity into a platform? What can I do? How can I get a little bit closer to my goal? What can I start doing to get a little bit better? We're going to take our final break of the show in just a second. And when we come back, you will want to come back because I got a little something for you. And I think it's going to help you no matter who you are, what your title is, what is or isn't in your bank account, what you've been told growing up, if you are the greatest rock star, if you're living in a mansion, or you're trying to pay your rent this month. We got something for you, Get Up Army. Come right back because I ain't going anywhere right here on 1520 WCHE. July, baby. I'm your host, Mark Kayford, coming at you like a freaking flying monkey from the Wizard of Oz, Big Kev. That's what I'm talking about. Yo, Get Up Power Hour right here. We're playing to win. You're playing to win. Because if you made it this far in the show, you don't have, you know, nothing else better to do. You're vested in the message. And I love you, Get Up Army. Thank you for coming on this journey. This Get Up Power Hour, we're talking about taking control, getting better, being better. How do we do that? What can you do to get better? Okay. Couple things. First of all, you need to read. Leaders are readers. We got to read books. You got to watch videos. You got to listen to audios. You basically got to pour into yourself. Invest in yourself. You got one you. You have one you. Yes, you got to unplug sometimes. You got to recharge the battery. It's cool to Netflix and chill, but how about like taking 15 minutes a day? 15 minutes a day. That's it. That's it. 15 minutes a day to do a little something that's going to get you better. Guess what you have? Guess what you still have if you do that? 23 hours and 45 minutes. Yeah, you still got all the freaking time in the world. Take a little time and invest in yourself every day, and then you go look back 30 days from now and see the difference. You'll be stunned. Stunned. I want to end the show today with this message. Again, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Your current situation is not your final destination. I went and I spoke to a school recently, and you know, it was in one of these areas where I don't want to say it was poverty stricken, but they were definitely an underprivileged school in a financial situation there. And I talked to the students, and one of the, you know, high school, and one of the students said, Hayford, how am I supposed to be better in life if I'm here in the hood? Oof. Crush me, man. Crush me because, not because the kid's in the hood and not because he asked that question. It's because he didn't see what I see. I see this young kid who is unlimited potential, who's young, who's strong, who's smart, who's viral, who's ready to, who can, has limitless possibilities, but he sees himself as in the hood. Where do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? How you're seeing yourself is imperative to your life. Now look, you want a good life. You deserve a good life. And you can have a good life, but you got to start taking steps. Let me review here so we can just kind of really understand what the heck we're talking about here. Let me put the shine on the pat. Now, you know, guys, this next month and a half, I got guests lined up that are going to rock your freaking socks. I could do a 10-hour show by myself, but I love pulling people in here that I think are going to give you a perspective, mindset, something that's going to help you out. I mean, we've brought some people in here. What about Big Q? Remember him? He was the Christmas show. The Mark Hayford feel-good Christmas moment here at the Get Up Power Hour. He's Keel Jallo, right? And he's the young guy who was growing up sleeping on floors when he was in middle school, almost dropping out of school, going back and forth, having this disheveled life as such a young kid. Well, today he's got a banging GPA, right? He's the captain of Millersville University football. He is a captain. He is the leader. He went through all this stuff, and he kept fighting, and he is a leader among his peers. He didn't stop. He kept going. How about Angie Sella? Angie Sella, who sat right from here, she was the single mom of four kids that was about in six figures of debt, decided to do something about it, got a dream. According to her, God gave her a dream twice because she didn't listen the first time, and she created the Blinger for hair. And now worldwide, girls are able to enjoy her product and have fun. And she's a millionaire. And she forever changed the trajectory of her family and her kids and her grandkids. Matter of fact, I just spoke with her. She's up for Inventor of the Year. Blinger's up for Toy of the Year. She didn't just sit there and wallow. A couple weeks ago, we had Holly O'Connell come on. She is the founder of A Path to Hope. A Path to Hope, which deals with mental wellness, mental illness, and the resources. And she was buried under all this indecisiveness and what to do and dealing with their own stuff. And she created this for whoever needs it. Darren Rodia. He was raised by a single mom, grew up an angry young dude in the streets of Philly, pissed off at life. What did he do? He's the owner of Every Kinetic Physical Therapy in Pennsylvania. All the Sonares today, which focus on the revolution for mental wellness. He was the number one physical therapist in America. Do you know how many lives he's touched? Or he just could have been some angry dude in Philly. But that's not what he did. Andy Chambers. Come on, happy birthday, Andy Chambers. Just had a birthday recently. He should retire. He's 62, right? Go sit in a hammock, bro. No. He started a freaking fitness group for firefighters so they could be better at saving lives. And now it's for everybody in his community. He's making a difference. He didn't stay comfortable. What about Brandon Noble? He was the mountain of a man that we had at Timothy's Live last week. The guy left the NFL because he almost died. Played for the Redskins, the Niners, the Cowboys. What did he do? He decided to reinvent himself. He's in his mid-40s and he's reinventing himself. I love it. And what's he do? He calls color for the PSU, the whole, you know, Penn State family out there. We are, right? And he's good at what he does and he brings joy to people when he does it. So what I'm saying is, it's not always about you. Someone needs you to get better today. Someone needs you to play all out today. Maybe thousands of people that you don't even know yet. So what I'm saying to you is, please, for you, for those you don't even know yet, you got to mind your mind. You've got to focus on what you want, not what you don't want. And you got to understand that you are special and you could make a difference. You could be the deal breaker for many in a positive way. And remember this, it only takes one good shot and it only takes one to start the revolution. You can be the revolution. Now we're out of here, but I will be back next week and I am swinging for the fence. I love you, Get Up Army, and I am always in your corner. It's Mark Hayford.